you know, glad to be here. I think what you're doing is very important. I think raising awareness about this, having people feel not alone, having people, you know, realize that this is something very common, treatable, that there are, you know, better days ahead.
But to be fair, that's sometimes how therapy works too. Sometimes you have to have a few wrong answers before you find the right one.
Yeah.
If you could please just increase your volume just a little bit.
Welcome to season 5. Who knew we'd make it this long?
I don't know about you guys, but I swear it sounds like I'm saying flong.
Flong? Well, that's so you have a lisp. And it's, you know, we could have re-recorded it, but it sounds so good then. I was like, don't touch it.
Who knew we'd make it this flong?
This flong.
I think I was trying to say like long or...
Who knew we'd make it this long?
Far. I think I was trying to say far and long at flong. The same time and it came out flong.
You know, maybe we need a shirt that says like, who knew we'd make it this flong?
Oh my goodness.
And then sell it. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, we're back for another week. I hope you enjoyed listening to the Cousins podcast, join Bipolar Girl podcast. It was interesting. It was a great show.
It was a good show.
And Amy, like, you always rise to the occasion, so thank you with all the data and the real like technical stuff,
because you know how much I hate to nerd out.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, it's your least favorite thing to do.
You know. I can't do this. It's so exhausting to nerd out. But it was good. You nerded out very well, and it was very good.
One of these days, I'm going to find a way to work Star Wars into this.
Star Wars. You know, it'll be intergalactic travel or something, like universal travel in your mental health. By then, we'll be going to Mars for special, like, there'll be a colony on Mars. So it's about how to survive Mars and be in good mental health.
See, I don't think I'd be a good candidate for that, because from what I've read about it, they want extroverts.
Yeah.
I cannot extrovert all the way to another planet.
No.
That's interesting.
Yeah, they want people who can be like, they want you.
No, but even
people who are going to be like super social, and yeah, the trip there is going to be just, you know, interstellar party.
Even I get exhausted, though. I mean,
that's true. You do get tired. You do have to.
Yeah, even I get totally exhausted.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, I can't talk that much, because even after campaigning, like I come back and I'm like, all right, I need to not talk. Or even if I'm working, you know, being out in public, and it's like, I need to relax. So, anyway, let's say, how was your week? Let's go around the horn.
How was your last 2 weeks?
How was your last 2 weeks?
Busy. We got a lot going on that we can't necessarily talk about yet, but we will eventually. But it's midterms.
Right. We do have a lot in the hopper.
It's midterms. You're trying to do your music.
No, I'm just trying to
say. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's midterms, and they're not going fantastically for me, so that's something to be said. I don't know how it's going to pan out. I haven't gotten my grades yet, but we'll see.
Well, more on that later, because, you know, honestly, it's a whole story. There's a whole backstory here.
Have we talked about how we got a puppy?
We have not talked about how you got a puppy.
Oh. Is it a puppy?
Yeah, we do. We got a new puppy.
So, our youngest son wanted a dog for his birthday, and I'm a sucker, and I went and I got him a dog for his birthday. But really what happened is I got myself a dog for my son's birthday, because this thing is attached to me. He's adorable. His name is Shadow. He's a Staffordshire Terrier.
Staffordshire Terrier.
And he's a good boy. He's a puppy. He's 7 months old, so he's a handful, but he's a good boy. I didn't realize how much our Great Dane likes to play until we got the puppy. I was worried, because I was like, she's kind of a lazy dog and she doesn't really do much. She just kind of lounges around, and this puppy's going to be all in her face and everything. But like, she loves it.
Yeah, you know, listen, I thought my house was small with a dang Great Dane. You add a puppy in there and there's horse playing going on. Literally, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm fearing for my life daily walking around my own house because they will bounce into you, fall into you, jump on top of you. And now, like, I call my puppy, like, I call him, like, Scrappy-Doo. Because, like, seriously, it's like puppy power. Like, everything from, like, 5 in the morning until, like, 11 or 12 o'clock at night. He's, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, I don't even know how people deal. I told them, I said, you know what? Maybe we should have gotten an old hound dog that just sits around and goes all day. And that's it. Because this is too much, Amy. Too much.
Yeah. Puppy power is a real thing. It is a real thing.
It's exhausting.
Also, that was a lot of he just came from the shelter and he had been locked up a lot and he had all this energy. And the more he's here and the more he's settled, the more he's getting into the routine. And
he's pooping less in the house.
Yep. Yes. We're learning. We're learning about where we go potty. And but you know, what they say it's 3. So it takes 3 days for them to come down from the stress of the shelter, 3 weeks to get into a routine, and 3 months to really be part of the family.
Well, you know what? He almost got sent to another family at one point. He ate one of Rebecca's pillows.
Yeah, so I have they're like down pillows that you, the decorative pillows that you put on your bed and make it look all nice and fancy. He ripped open where the zipper is and like,
ooh, dude.
Yeah. So the pillow is fine. It's the casing of the pillow that just needs to be replaced, which is a lot better than if there were feathers all over the house.
Look, if we'd gone to TJ Maxx and spent $15 on the pillow, I'd been fine. Whatever. But even still, that's a waste of money.
These were expensive, but they didn't chew the pillow.
That's true. She can definitely hem it back, right? Yeah. She can stitch it back or whatever you call it. But, yeah.
Yeah, I can fix it. But, yeah, puppy power is a real thing.
What say you, Amy?
Amy's a cat person.
How was your week?
My week?
Your 2 weeks.
Very, very busy, but in a good way. Like the kind of busy you get paid for.
That's good.
So the new practice that I joined a couple months ago.
First of all, that could mean anything. That could be
different because it's a lot more medical. So yeah. There's a lot more trainings and a lot more paperwork and stuff.
Right.
But it's also better for care because like there are prescribers right there in the facility. And the other place, the last place that I was at, was only therapists, so you had to be running around trying to help people find psychiatrists.
Oh, yeah, that's hard.
So this is a lot more multidisciplinary.
Mm.
You know, art therapists, psychiatrists, psychologists, there's testing and therapy, so kind of having everything in-house, so it's a lot easier to refer people to stuff, which is nice.
That's nice.
But then, you know, the level of paperwork and excess trainings that it takes to run a medical facility can be a lot. I think my last practice, they're like, okay, as long as you do your notes and your billing, we're good. And I just like go in, do my thing, leave. It's fine. And this place, the care I think is much better just because it is so multidisciplinary. I definitely did the right thing in going here, but I am like blown over by the sheer amount of paperwork and bureaucracy and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Wow. They don't have digital records?
I forgot what it was like to work in an actual medical facility.
They don't have digital records, Amy?
Oh, yeah.
But
well, by paperwork, I meant anytime I have to fill things out.
Oh.
But it's all digital.
It's digital paperwork.
Okay. So, I mean, I pictured you, like, sitting here putting stamps on stuff and signing pieces of paper and, like, filing it in a filing cabinet and then giving it, you know, to someone else to sign so you can have a dual signature, getting a notary and all that kind of stuff. She's like, no, you're not an idiot.
How was your 2 weeks?
How was my 2 weeks? It's been good. You know, the campaign's moving forward, having lots of great conversations. The Fox News thing came out. Like I said, you know, money is still a drag. But, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, we're making the right contacts. And, you know, whatever happens in this race, I know that the next one will be very good. Someone told me, so I was at this Hall of Fame dinner down at the press club in D.C., and one of my colleagues in the co-op community walked up to me and said, and his name is R.L., and he's like, he's a lobbyist. So he has this really good Southern voice. He goes, Steven, he said, it's okay. Don't you worry about it. He says, Bill Clinton lost like a bazillion races before he actually won one.
Meanwhile, Stephen's over here looking up like the Kennedys and how many races did the Kennedys lose? And it's like he's like going against like the dynasty where, yeah, look at like Bill Clinton and stuff like that.
I got some big dreams.
You got some big dreams.
I got big with a Z, G-O-T-Z. I got big dreams.
Look, are you ready to be first lady?
Oh, God, no, I'm not ready to be first lady.
She's not going to be a first lady. She's going to be like Hillary Clinton.
I am. I'll be more like Hillary.
Putting her middle finger up. She's going to be home baking cookies, let me tell you that.
I will not be. Who was that? That was Barbara.
Yeah, she's, don't talk about Miss Barbara now. Miss Barbara's a good woman.
She is, but I'm not a Barbara.
I know, you're not a Barbara. You're more Clinton-esque. definitely more Clinton-esque. So that's going well. Like Rebecca said, we have a lot of like really cool stuff happening, but you can look at it both ways, either cool, crazy, or just obnoxious. And we'll be ready to talk about them probably in another couple weeks or so. But there's some serious like things happening in our lives, and they're both fun and scary all mm-hmm. at the same time. And
yeah.
So we're excited to deal with those. But, you know, it's interesting. We were spending time. We had a funeral to go to.
I went.
So listen. So, you know, my uncle has his family and my mom. You know, I see her more. But the four of us. So he left his wife and kids at home. I left my wife and kids at home. And so we all got in my mom's SUV and we drove down to Tidewater, Virginia for a funeral. It was actually a really good trip. Like we got a chance to like bond and talk and act a little obnoxious. But I can tell you that like, man, there was one part of like, there was people got up and said like good things like about the family,
the deceased,
and Lord, my mother couldn't wait to get back to the car and be like, and so and so. I mean, she was going down the list.
She was like, she was upset. They didn't tell the truth.
They were lying. They were lying. like you know, family funerals, right? Like it.
Wouldn't it be fun if somebody actually told the truth at a funeral?
Yeah.
Because at a funeral, you're like, you get up there and you say all the nice things, right?
So my uncle's in the back. He's like, my uncle who officiated the funeral. He goes, well, you know, he goes, listen, you're supposed to try to say the good things, not talk about all the drama. I was like, Mom, yeah, you need to really relax. She was like, no, but they took my father through. And she was in rare form.
She was hot.
In the car. And then she got back out the car and was like, it's so good to see you. But all in all, no, seriously, I think it was great that we all like got together and we spent time, went back to my cousin Terry's house, who lives in Newport News, and just, you know, we had a lot of food left over. You know, for me, like, I can't eat at a funeral home. I don't know about you.
They had the funeral.
At a funeral home.
At a funeral home. Yeah. And then so you had like the chapel part. Mm-hmm. And then you left and then you came back and they like switched it. And now it was like the repass. Yeah, so Steven's I can't eat in the funeral home. It's so weird.
My uncle and I were saying, you know, like, look, I can do without going back to the funeral home. I was like, because they did cut off the chapel part. And like, there was a funeral going on upstairs. But let me just tell you how eerie it was. And even though my uncle and I were in a car, I was like, well, we just want to know where the food is coming from. Like, who's catering the food? Are they cooking the food on site? I'm sorry, would I be comfortable with you cooking the food on site at a funeral home?
You guys are funny.
I'm sorry, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know that I'm comfortable with that. So at one point, my mom said, like, you know, she calls me Reggie by my middle name. She's like, Reggie, can you go back to the car? And can you get Nana, and that's my grandmother's, extra pillows? Because, you know, she's 93.
Pilla.
And she needs extra pillows to prop her up. Yeah, she says pilla. A pilla. I don't know where this, like... can you go get the pillow? Like, is she a Southern Belle? Like, what's going on? So anyway, so I come back And I give my mother the pillow. But before I'm walking in the door, one of the guys who works for the funeral home was like, oh, let me get the door for you. And he opens the door with his left hand, and in the right hand he has an urn. Like, it was like he was carrying a football. Like, it wasn't a big deal to him. He's just like, come on, let me hold the door open for you. And I'm just like, dude, I'm eating fried chicken in a funeral home with an urn in somebody's hand. Like, I'm sorry. It just, all of it just didn't seem right. So, like, I didn't eat that much, but when it would end up happening, we did find out that it was catered by a local small business. And I was happy to hear that. They didn't cook the food on site, because I'm sorry.
They don't cook in a funeral home.
Well, you know what? Listen, all I can picture is formaldehyde and, like, grease and, like, deep frying grease. And I'm sorry. Like, I just, both of it just did not work well for me. But we went back to Terry's house, and that's where we all got down. Like, we opened the chicken back up, and we started eating and talking, and we talked through all the family drama. And, you know, it was great. You know, I was glad to get to hang out with cousins that I just don't get to see on a regular basis. So that was my life in a nutshell. And then we came back home that night. And by the way, on the trip back, let me just tell you this. I know we're going a little longer. That is because I'm taking a little executive privilege. We stop off in Spotsylvania. We get in line to go to Chick-fil-A. I wanted to get my grandmother a milkshake. Get in line, and the Chick-fil-A is out of ice cream.
Yeah, how do you run out of ice cream as Chick-fil-A?
But here's the thing. That's how much business they had. Amy, okay, 95 goes from like this along the East Coast. Right. On one side of the eastern side of 95 was one Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. On the other side, the western side of 95, there's a second Chick-fil-A, both of them to which had lines wrapped around the building.
Yeah, so there's two Chick-fil-A's, one on either side of the highway, and they were still busy. Like, usually you don't see them that close together.
It was, they were just on opposite sides of 95. And both of them were stuff wrapped around the building. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, the little things in life that, like, kind of, like, you know, the older you get, you're like, oh, dear. But that was essentially our lives in the last couple of weeks. I mean, other than all the other stuff that we have going on, which I can't wait. Keep listening, everyone.
Yeah. What is our next? We don't have an interview.
We don't have an interview. So what did we say? But, you know, we can't set this up with we forgot our music. Okay. All right, go ahead.
How was our week music. Yeah. Well, we're past that now.
I know, so go ahead and set it up about what we're going to talk about this week.
So I think what we're going to talk about this week is, like I said, it's midterms now, and it's a lot regularly, and it can be even more when you have a mental illness. I know for me that it's a lot with a mental illness. I can't imagine what it would be like without one. Probably a whole lot easier. I don't know. But like my midterm in my program, it's asynchronous, which is what Steven doesn't like about it, is that it's asynchronous because...
It's going off in a second.
I'm not actually with my professors. Like, I'm just listening to lecture on a video.
So they basically tape it and put up?
Yeah, and then they throw a bunch of reading at you. And typically I can follow along and I can do it, but this one class, it's like, I feel like the reading's not matching what she wants. And it's doing stuff like the Dewey Decimal System, and I've never had to use the Dewey Decimal System before in my life. And so I keep doing these assignments and I keep thinking that I'm going to do poorly on them. And I do pretty well on them. But one assignment I did, and I thought I understood it. And she went in and she put comments on the assignment. And then she gave me a grade like 5 days earlier than she should have. And then she took the grade away. Well, the grade was an F.
What?
It was 50%. And I melted down because I've never gotten a grade like that before.
Mm-hmm. Let me just tell you, I the wind chimes here because I'm going to chime in. Literally, I have not seen this woman melt down in the way that she did. And I was asking her, I said, but honey, when you asked if it were online, did you ask if it was, and I didn't have the right terminology. I was like, did you ask if it was distance learning? Like, are they really on a screen? Can you guys connect? But I said, let me just Google it. Distant learning. And I was like, then I learned it was asynchronous versus synchronous learning. This program.
You don't know what the program is. We don't know. Just the two classes that I'm taking are very asynchronous.
So when she was at Penn, it was both asynchronous and synchronous learning. And they were able to at least connect. I don't know if it's the same thing here, but I can tell you this. I'm going to put my foot down and say you are not going to be able to take like an asynchronous like degree for the whole. I mean, come on. You know, something so complicated as records and archiving, and you're going to try to have it asynchronous, and it doesn't even align. She doesn't even give Rebecca all the information, Amy.
It's there somewhere. I'm just not finding it.
Listen, she wouldn't have taken your grade down and let you redo it if she had blown it.
That's the great thing is I got the horrible grade and then the grade went away. And so I emailed her and I was like, you know, thank you for your comments. And I think I understand better and blah, 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 blah. I've redone it and I haven't gotten a grade since then. But it's just I don't know.
It could have been a mistake on her part.
Yes. Yeah, it could have been something that she did, too. So I followed her direction, and I followed what she mentioned on her comments, and I fixed everything, and we're just going to wait for the new grade. Now, Stephen's point, which first we have to look at Stephen's history. Every time that a course or courses went wrong for Stephen in his college career, or something didn't feel right, Stephen left and went to another college.
Yes. I dropped. I did what every God-fearing American college student would do. I dropped.
So I'm not.
I thought that was walking to the professor's office in a tight sweater.
Oh, there you go.
No, I did not literally do that. But
I don't have I don't have the goods to walk in with a tight sweater. Tight jeans, maybe. But my professors weren't interested. Although my gay lesbian literature professor, he probably would have been.
He would have been interested.
But he also gave me an A in his class. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just I don't know if I would have melted down as much had I not been under the stress that I'm under and had a mental illness. And just in the little bit that we've been sitting here, I was able to find one statistic. This is one study found that 5% of students do not finish their education due to psychiatric disorders. An estimated that 4.29 million people would have graduated from college had they not been experiencing such disorders. That's kind of sobering to me. That's a lot of people who have dropped out of college.
She's also dropped her phone on the floor now four times. Yeah, but go ahead. Amy, what say you? You're the professor. You're the expert. Like,
yeah, what is it from the professor's point of view?
And you've worked with working students, so you get it.
Right. And I have a lot of students, you know, over the years who've been open with me about having mental illnesses. You know, they're taking, you know, a month off in the middle of the semester because they have to go to the hospital. You know, and they're trusting me with this information. And our school, for a variety of reasons, you know, students who are, you know, working parents, people with different kinds of disabilities where they sometimes do have to take off in the middle of the semester, they've gotten it so, like, we don't grade on attendance anymore. It's just strictly on the grade to make it easier to deal with that kind of thing, whether it's having to be at work or having to be at home with a sick kid or having to take some time off for medical care, including psychiatric care. So that's nice.
I
think this semester I may have actually hit a new record of slightly less than 1 week before a student talked to me about like their mental health problems. And I'm not going to go into any more detail than that, of course, but you know, trying to get them the services they need. But yeah, like at a lot of colleges, the professors have a lot of freedom to do their classroom their way. Kind of especially in grad schools, I think, where there's a little bit more status attached to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, even at the community college I teach at, we have a huge amount of academic freedom, which makes it, you know, as far as how a professor deals with that, most of the time the school and the union, the teachers union, are going to back up the professor unless they do something really egregious.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So that's like, you can't even really predict always college by college. It's like, okay, which professor is most receptive to this?
Yeah,
and will help you out a little.
Yeah.
I'm always torn about letting professors know what I am going through because mm-hmm. I don't want them to be like, oh, it's a cop-out, kind of like she's saying this so she can get special treatment or she's saying this so I don't grade her so hard or something like that. I don't ever want them to think that that's what I'm trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm.
Although you have legitimate reasons to use it.
In undergrad, I had let several know.
Okay.
There were several times where, like, my medication was off or I didn't sleep and, like, my grades were suffering. And I let them know, like, look, this is why all of a sudden my grades are suffering. Like, it's not like I just gave up or I'm not trying. It's, you know, I have these extenuating circumstances.
Right.
But I think that's a hard decision to actually come to your professors and say that.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I remember once I was home for a couple days and I went and told my professor I was depressed, and they were like, oh, did you go to the student center? We have therapy services. It's really good. You're not going to be able to make up your work.
That's real.
Just got to keep moving forward.
But that was how many years ago?
This was 1996. Yeah, seven.
Yeah.
95, so, six, actually.
I mean, times have changed.
I find it hard to believe that, like, it's been that long since I've been in college anyway. I mean, I just anyway, but that's another subject for another day. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think we've like responded better to like respond better.
There's all kinds of studies and now, you know, money being thrown at education to help those with mental health disorders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, but it's also is it a fad or is it just that we're just all woke now?
I don't think it's a fad. I think it's something that definitely came out of COVID.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think after COVID, we saw it with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
After COVID and the isolation and everything else, like we started noticing mental health in our young people.
Just in what I'm seeing, you know, somebody needs to put some teeth in those laws, especially the disability laws, because it still also varies a lot by college and sometimes even professor how much disability accommodations are even respected and adhered to.
Oh, really?
Like, if there's nobody there who's willing to kind of put some teeth in it and enforce it, you know, it's college by college. And like I said, sometimes even professor by professor, whether those disability accommodations are going to be respected. So, you know, sometimes I'll have occasion to write a disability letter, you know, do the evaluation for a student who maybe is one of my clients and needs disability accommodations. And I know which schools in Chicago are going to respect them and which ones aren't by now.
Yeah, that's true.
There's not, you know, widespread enforcement.
But
so here's a question.
Yeah.
With someone with bipolar or mental illness, like what kind of accommodations can be made? Because I've never understood what that, you know, what that would look like. I've never gone that route.
So extra time on assignments or looser deadlines, you know, taking an exam on a different day would be a lot of them for a depressive episode.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially, you know, doing things at home or online that are usually done in class.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. So A lot of it depends on what type of depressive episode. Somebody who's hypomanic, you know, depends on what type of hypomanic. If it's the type of hypomanic where you are really, really productive, yeah. just hope it happens during finals.
Yeah.
I had a friend.
I've actually known a couple of students who knew their triggers for hypomania and triggered themselves a couple weeks before finals.
I was going to say that I had a friend that was a physics and mm-hmm. like biochem like mm-hmm. major and dual mm-hmm. major. I mean, it was some crazy the fool, and I call him fool because you know how you're talking to like, hey fool, but like the dude could literally mm-hmm. do equations in his head without mm-hmm. even writing them down. That's how smart he was. But I was convinced that 2 weeks from examination, somehow he triggered himself or sent himself in like a hypermania like state. I've never seen so much. First of all, I've never seen so much sharing of Ritalin and Adderall, and like
I was just gonna say that.
And then also people smoking joints, drinking to kind of keep themselves going. And they're like, "Yeah, I'm just gonna pull an all nighter." This fool pulled an all nighter, studied for his exam that night, and aced it.
Yeah,
I could never. They were like. They were like, oh, just study all night and go take the exam. You'll be fine. I said, no, that doesn't work like that for me. No. Yeah, I got to get rest. I have to eat and be nourished. Like, you know, I can't go out partying all night and then go take an exam. These people were brilliant. I don't know. They were just their brilliant mind.
Again, different time with all that sharing of Adderall.
Although that still happens.
Yeah.
I never said I took it. I just said I saw it. You know, I was the choir boy.
We'll leave that there.
I was the choir boy. I was everyone's little brother. Remember that?
Yes, you were everyone's little
yeah.
brother. So I think I am definitely not looking forward to my midterm grades. I know that much. But we'll see what happens. And we'll see what happens going forward. It's one of those things that it's very frustrating because I don't know what I don't know. And so I go into these assignments and I think I know. And Steven's like, well, you should ask questions. And it's like, I don't even know what question I would ask because I don't know what I don't know. And it's a weird place to be in because I've never been here before. I've never been in
grad school is not just an education. It's an entire cultural environment that's different from anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like even if you've been to regular 4-year college, you know, it's culture shock going into a master's or a doctorate because it's a completely different game just as far as like how the social rules are played.
It was funny because, you know, when I started GW, I mean, of course I didn't finish, but not of course, but when I started GW for graduate school, like I was sitting there and like the thing that I found odd for me, and I'd been working for a couple years, is that most of the people sitting around the table, that was a small group, were already working in the degree that they wanted to obtain. And it was me kind of looking from the outside in.
And that's kind of what's happening here, because a lot of the people that I'm going to school with have already worked in libraries.
Right.
And I thought that I would have some concept of things because I've worked in records for so long.
Right.
Which I think once we get out of like these overview courses, I will have more knowledge. But like these are like organization professions and organizational institutions. And so, yeah, a lot of my schoolmates are already librarians. I'm like, why are you here?
Yeah, they just need a little piece of paper to get the bump in income. That's all that's about. That's all it's about. So, yeah, you know.
So how do you suggest that people deal with the stress of midterms with and have a mental illness? Like, how do you cope with that stress of midterms and finals?
Well, I think that, you know, with so much of yours being online, you know, it would actually be a little harder just because the way we always dealt in grad school was like the other students.
Yeah.
And not just like study parties, but, you know, finding who's hiding ADHD or depression or PTSD from the professors. So you find out, so that you can find out who else is having the same kind of problems and how they're dealing. And, you know, maybe somebody's had a particular professor before and they can give you the dirt on how to get along with them.
Mm-hmm.
Or what they like in a student. So really the biggest thing, you know, if possible in your program is to, you know, find a way to get to know the other students because they might have some information you don't. And then eventually they'll be coming to you for like, okay, what's, you've already had this professor, you know, what are they like? What do they value in a student?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it is just working the gossip network.
The gossip network. I love that.
Like your questions, I don't know what I don't know. A lot of the other students, maybe especially the ones that are already librarians, might know the stuff that you need to know.
That's true.
Like a lot of us were going to other students before we would go to professors because we felt uncomfortable asking professors certain questions because mm-hmm. we felt like we were already supposed to know them.
Yeah.
You know, that's odd because that you know, you feel that way. Rebecca feels that way.
You never felt that way?
I may have felt that way maybe once in my whole mm-hmm. college career. But for the most part, I'm trying to get to know my professor on a intimate, not
personal level. No, personal but you want to be best friends. With
yeah, I'm like, but I want to be besties. So I'm sitting down mm-hmm. and I'm talking. I'm talking about. So what do you think about?
But
this?
You've been like that your whole life.
That's true. Well, because I grew up with older. Like, well, I mean, my mom raised me. I grew up with all of her friends.
Yeah.
So it's a bunch of cackling single women gossiping all day.
Well, and it wasn't. They weren't that much older than your mother was very young.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, that's true.
And so, like you said, like you always said, you used to get in trouble for being in grown folks' business a lot.
Well, yeah, that's true. And it was like so second nature. Like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
But that's how I kind of approach being with my professors. Like, if you were my professor, I'd be like, let's get office hours. Hey, you want to get coffee? And we can talk about this theory. And, like, you know what I mean? So,
that's
just how I was. Like, I was just like, I'm always like hands on. Like, it sounds really weird, but like,
not yeah, I know. Like that's that. Why that's why you don't understand online learning.
Yeah, I can't. I just would never.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. But like in grad school, the stakes are higher as far as your relationships with the professor. This is not about passing a class or getting a recommendation. This is these people sometimes have access to jobs, access to research funding, stuff like that.
Yeah.
They always do. From 9 times out of 10. Unless they're a horrible mm-hmm. professor.
Yeah.
No one likes them. Like, that's the only reason why they wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because Steven's big thing when I had my whole meltdown, he was like, you have to go to office hours. I was like, I don't think you understand online school. Like, it's not like there's right. office hours.
So
there's an email I can email, but like, it's not like yeah. I can show up to a Zoom call between 5 and 6.
And that's why I don't think asynchronous learning is good for her. I mean, honestly. Mm-hmm. And the only reason you chose Kent, and so this is the thing that bugs me, Amy. Okay, so here we go. The only reason she chose Kent because it was top in her program. But if you're not looking to become a research fellow or become a PhD student or teach, the top school doesn't matter as long as it's accredited, right? What do you feel about that?
It's who it's accredited by. So that's what you're not understanding. Like, you can be accredited by the American Library Association, right?
But most major universities are.
But that doesn't mean that you're accredited by the Archives Association.
Oh.
Kent is accredited by both.
And accreditations matter when you're trying to get things like research funding or, you know, different kinds of positions.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's going to say archives on my degree.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It will. It will say archivist on my degree.
I'm not belittling it, and it's true, but I still think you need a little more hands-on because I don't think I've ever seen... I mean, I've heard stories of Ivy League students melting down at the sight of a bad grade. This was one of them. Like, I mean, like, not even just Ivy League, but I've heard about students that just, like, have a complete, excuse the term, bitch fit. Excuse me for all the family-friendly young people that are listening. I just had to quote-unquote it. But, like, have a BF Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm just trying to calm her down, and it's like, it's not good enough. Head spinning around, like The Exorcist. Like, and like, I'm trying to keep it cool. I'm like, you gotta calm down. It's okay. It won't be okay.
It won't be okay.
I mean, she was like, it was shaking. Like, it was almost like her mom had walked up to her and said, I never wanted to have you as a, like, when you, like, period. Because she was crying and she was shaking. She was so angry. And I was just like, God, babe. And I said, it scared me. And then I'm mad. I'm online saying, what the? And I'm like trying to find other graduate programs.
Right?
They don't deserve you. They don't deserve you. Like,
he spent the whole night looking at other graduate programs. And he's like, you're going to drop out and go here.
You're going to go here. You know, I'm not dealing with this. You are too good for this. Nope. It's like LSU, because LSU is another 100% online degree. And I'm just
but
like.
But LSU is also top.
Yeah, and they're all top, but when they're 100% asynchronous, like, no. That's horrible.
Yeah, but asynchronous classes, as well as online classes, sometimes also increase different kinds of inclusion. Mm-hmm. You know, an asynchronous class, you can do it on the time frame that works for you.
Yes.
True.
And, you know, if the class is asynchronous, the professor may not know things that they would know in a classroom, like what race you are, if you have any kind of a visible disability, stuff like that. So the beauty of asynchronous, like for somebody who's basically neurotypical, has no major disabilities, yeah, there's a lot to be said for in-person classes or at least synchronous online classes. But, you know, if you've got a disability status or multiple disability statuses or some other stigmatized if you're potentially going to be stigmatized or discriminated against,
right?
Online asynchronous can actually give you some of the best chances.
Right. Well, I mean, it's true. I mean, but the scary part for me is just that, like, it's just not one of those environments that creates, like, family and sort of a cohesiveness, you know, and it's kind of like cold and like distant. Like, it's is it really embracing that idea of community and lifelong learning? And but for some people, like I said, they don't have that luxury. I get it.
Right. Better they don't need it because they've got family elsewhere.
True. I just worry that, like, that's not like, that's not Rebecca. As much as Rebecca doesn't like people, she still needs them to, like, remind her she doesn't like people. You can't just.
It's not that I don't like people. I'm very introverted.
Mm-hmm. True.
I just tend to be more introverted.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, if you put me in a room with.
True.
If you put me in a room with 10 people, I'm going to find one and spend the night talking to one. If you put you in a room with 10 people, you're going to know all their nicknames and best friends' names by the time the night is done.
On a good day, yes. That's true. Sometimes it's so exhausting being me.
Oh.
It just is.
It's so hard to be you.
It's so hard to be me. And I'm kidding.
You're so funny.
I took that off of Stephanie Miller. She used to do stuff like that. She used to go, it's so hard to be me.
You are too much. You are too much. Well, do you want to do the word?
Which word? Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so it is from Voltaire. Is that how you say it? Voltaire?
Voltaire. Yes.
The more I read, the more I acquire, the more certain I am that I know nothing. What is that?
Oh, that's something. Okay.
I liked that. Because, again, it goes back to, I don't know what I don't know. And the more you know, the more you know that you don't know anything. What do you think?
Read it one more time.
Okay. The more I read, the more I acquire, the more certain I am that I know nothing.
Yes, I mean, that's exactly it. You know, like, the more knowledge you gain, the more you enter the next crossroad and you realize, wow, there's so many more questions I have about life. And I think that's true with a lot of things. If you become learned, learned people are humble because they really don't know. They never feel like they know everything.
Right.
And that's the
They've read this one book, but they know about the 20 different books on the same subject that they haven't read.
Absolutely. So yeah, I feel the same way. What say you, Amy?
I like that quotation because, I mean, it's so true. The deeper you get into a subject, the more information that you find out exists, but you don't know it.
Right.
You know, the more people you want to learn from, the more books you want to read, but also you become aware of gaps in the knowledge.
Right.
Like in psychology, you know, some people are so certain they know what it is. If you just take your meds, it'll be fine. Or cognitive behavioral therapy will solve everything for everybody. Or, you know, whatever form of therapy they happen to be into. But there's so much about psychology that is not known yet. That honestly, psychology is pretty much in its infancy. So that's kind of where I took it. Like, that is definitely true of the field of psychology.
No, that's very true. That's very good. All right, that's great. What's next?
So it's the song, but the song that I wanted to play is explicit lyrics, so I got to find another song.
Oh, well, what's explicit about it?
It's that song that you sent me called Anxiety by that rapper.
Oh, yeah, but does he have a, he on Spotify, isn't he?
He's on Spotify.
Anxiety.
Sleepy Hollow.
Have you heard of Sleepy Hollow?
No.
The rapper? Yeah, he's an interesting person. He is from Brooklyn, mm-hmm. New York, and he's this interesting rapper. So he has a song about anxiety, and it really fits some of our community folks who suffer with anxiety.
Yeah.
To the T.
Can we play that one? Is that okay?
I mean, you know, if you want to play profanity, that's fine. Just let's do the warning. Warning, moms and dads, if your kids and young people are in the car, make sure they're young enough so they won't pay attention, because you don't want them repeating that at church on Sunday. Okay?
All right, here we go. Anxiety.
Anxiety.
Shit got me tripping, fighting with my demons, and my demons is winning. I feel like don't nobody ever feel how I feel, and I ain't never sober, baby girl, I get hot still. She said, boy, don't sip lean and pop pills. It's 50 degrees, and I can tell that you hot still, but I don't know what you on. Feel so right to do wrong. Can't buy love, it don't come with a coupon, and they'll never catch it like a nigga with no arms. Maybe I'm tripping, my feelings been frying me. I blame it low on anxiety. I had two chops with the stick like I'm Chinese. Gotta keep it, I know how this life be. They showing real love, that's unlikely. Fuck you, I ain't asked you to like me. Watch for that snake, he might bite me. Watch out for anybody moving spicy. Do what you do, but just do it precisely. They gotta talk to you nicely. Check on your head, but it's nothing like Nike. I just hope you ain't taking it lightly. Like I'm stuck in a maze. I just try not to feel too amazed. Stand where I live till I lay in a grave. Sleeping on me been up for some days. Like how you gon' shit where you lay? You keep the fame, I just wanna get paid. Jacques Cousteau with the wave. Free all my niggas, they're Harriet Way. Like sometimes I feel like a slave to my feelings. I can really even tell you how I'm feeling. Bugged out, they gon' say I'm tripping when I'm chilling. Wonder who gon' hold it down until it's finished. This for the record, no Guinness. You must be drunk if you think I won't drill him. Praying, but they know you sinning. You gotta lose a lot before the winning, and most of the time I be stuck in my mind. Made mistakes in no way to rewind, but fuck it, we get over shit over time. It's all up to you, get out of line. Like you know one day you will shine. You know one day you will read through the lines. If they fucking with you, it's fine. You just make sure you get back like a spine.
Somebody's watching me. It's my anxiety.
Wow, that was all right. So that's a cool song.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, Anxiety.
I just downloaded it while we were listening.
Oh, did you really?
Steven found it. He found it on his driving home one night, and he was like, "You got to listen to this song."
That's true. It was really, it was good. You know, I liked the rhythm. Like, it was very, like, almost like John Travolta in Pulp Fiction, almost, like, you know. And, of course, you know, for me, it feels like I'm driving along the coast and I'm just relaxing, and that's what I want to do. I want to do that anyway. Anyway, this is kind of a flip because we usually say bye to everyone before we play the song, but we're back this time because it's just us three and we're all hanging out and we just do things our own way.
Yes.
It's also good to, like, kind of switch it up every now and then.
Yes, it is.
I mean, heck, I mean, you don't want to become predictable.
Yeah.
You know, that's just like
boring.
Like, you know, get her done kind of stuff. We don't want that. But anyway, thank you everyone for listening to the show. Does anyone have any final thoughts about education and mental health?
Grad school, pretty much everybody is in a state of frantic insecurity and trying not to look like it. So if you're in a room full of people who, other students who look totally calm, even a virtual room, and you feel like you're freaking out, everybody else is freaking out too. They've just got a good poker face.
Right.
That's good to know.
See?
That's good to know because I feel my poker face cracking and I'm just like, I'm the only one here cracking.
It's the only time that, yeah, no, you're not.
Like, I finished in 2016. I'm still hearing stories from the people I went to school with about the stuff they were hiding back then.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Any good juicy stories?
No.
I wouldn't do that to them.
Oh, okay, fine. They're not your enemy.
If they want to talk about it on the show, we can invite them.
Oh, yeah, we should do that. Anyway, all right, so have a great week, everyone.
Yes,
thank you for listening again.
Thanks.
All right, everyone, say bye.
Bye.
Bye.